Ghost.
Amen.
What always gets, well, I won't say gets me. What I love about our prayer book, what I love about our colics is those colics in the prayer book go back to anywhere from, well, 400s, maybe a little bit before, certainly afterwards. But those same colics we say here on Sundays are the same ones said throughout the whole Anglican Communion. And so many, 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 many churches are praying the same prayers that we pray, and they're beautiful. Now, in our prayer book in 1549, Cranmer took some of those old colics and in very few cases he did a hatchet job and just rewrote them, basically. Very few. Most of them he changed a few words here and there to make them more meaningful to the people of his time. But largely, I'd say they're probably pretty much intact. And the colic we have today goes back to the mid-400s, 440. Pope Leo the Great had a bunch of, if I say sacramentary, basically the colics come from a bunch of, shall we say, loose readings, liturgical readings, that finally in the 700s they got put in some sort of formal way, and throughout the years up to 1549 when Cranmer did his job. But that's the colic we had today. It's a petition that reflects that Easter is the principal time for baptism. And we have two baptisms during this Easter time, one coming up again on Pentecost, which is May 19th. So pray for the, I'll put them in again next week in the bulletin, for both the gentlemen, or the boy and the older fellow, that was baptized. They need our prayers. In fact, a couple people in the church have offered to give them Bibles, and I think that's a wonderful gift. If you think of something yourself too, I think a nice gift to give to a young man being baptized is not only a Bible, but maybe some other books or maybe a cross. But that's for you to think about if you'd like to. If you go to Peter's sermon, this Acts lesson today, I don't know why they do it, but the Acts lesson on Pentecost begins in the second chapter of Acts. Ours takes up in the 22nd chapter, which there's a lot happening to fully understand the power that Peter was putting into this. Also to go back to the beginning of the second chapter of Acts, which again, I don't want to take the thunder away from Pentecost, but here it is. He gets up in front of the groups of people and he says, these people are not drunk. They're, you know, and he goes really forcefully at his audience. So let's take a look at Peter. If you remember, Peter is the fellow that said, when Jesus said, he says, I will not deny you. I will not deny you. And Jesus says, you will deny me three times before the early morning, shall we say. And Peter says, not me. First time. He said, you were with him, with Jesus. And he goes, not me. The second time, more vehement, you were with him, not me. The third time, with some colorful words, I'll say, probably, not me. It certainly wasn't me, very angrily. And he denies Jesus. Peter was a fisherman. He wasn't a rogue scholar or anything. And didn't know the Mosaic Law, didn't know the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. He wasn't a scholar by any means. He was a fisherman. Nothing wrong with being a fisherman, but it doesn't put you in a scholar's category. He didn't even know Greek. And yet, he was called to be, well, some would say, the first pope. And if you align yourself with that, He is, I think, prove me right or prove me wrong, the longest serving pope. I think he served for 30 years in that capacity. And finally, he died I think 64 AD. He was put on a cross, and he says, don't put me the same way you put my Savior on the cross, upwards. He was put on a cross with his head facing the ground, died a miserable death. As a matter of fact, and I think Deacon Brian's going to do a sermon in a while on the death of the disciples, but not a one of them, unless John, that's debatable, not a one of them died a normal death in a nice, warm, cozy bed. They all died in miserable ways. Saint Bartholomew died by being filleted alive. And I won't go into any more detail of that. I'll leave it for Brian. But here you have... I only do the pleasant stuff. Here you have Peter up there. And the point of his sermon is to prove that Jesus is both God and Messiah. So if you look it over to the very last verse, I think it's verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, what's significant about not only its significance in what it means, but the way Peter delivers this, you crucified. Not fearful of his life in that statement, because he was saying it to a bunch of people who really, I mean, you had to really believe is what I'm saying, in what you're saying, in order to make that kind of statement. You crucified. He seeks to prove this through Christ's miraculous works. The verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved by God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him and in the midst of you as ye yourself also. And then his resurrection in verses 23 to 32, but verse 32. This Jesus has raised up whereof we all are witnesses and is sending the Holy Spirit in verse 33. Therefore, being of the right hand of God exalted, and having received the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. Not one of Jesus' disciples was really educated. The one who was educated was St. Paul's, and he came after them. St. Paul's was a scholar, but the rest of them were just ordinary, subordinary folks who were called by God to serve. I've said this before, that each one of us has a calling. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you have a personal relationship with him, you are called to do something with your faith. And I've said this on numerous times, especially during Lent and here in Easter. And so I guess the fair question is for you to reflect yourselves. What have you done for the kingdom of God? Do you feel called? Do you feel worthy? Do you feel that you're not qualified? So in the message today, there is hope for us all. Because if Peter can do it, you can do it. And if I can do it, anybody can do it. Don't laugh, Charles. That was not... Let's say a little prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, give us all the skills, the things we need, the confidence, the love of you, everything we need to do what you call us to do in this world to the next. Amen. Amen.